times.
When is a time of need?
Always.
Always.
Yes.
We don't think so. Right now we read this verse, and if I ask you this question, you have the right answer, because it's right in front of you. But when is the time of need? It's every day, all the time. We are being drawn away, we are being tempted, we are being deceived, we are being led astray. You think the enemy will leave us alone?
No.
Your flesh will leave you alone. So how often do you come forward to the throne of grace? Jake.
Very often.
Once a week, that's often enough. How about you, Vince? Not very often, like Jake. We are so busy doing our things.
Yeah.
We don't think about coming forward and boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah. Right, Sam?
That's right. You're busy.
Especially if you're in your office, right? Are you in the Holy of Holies in your office? That's really our problem. Mm-hmm. That's why we always fell into the trap, the snares of the fowlers. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Amen. Okay.
Get that other mic.
I don't know what to share to.
Yeah, schedule and scheduled me tonight. Oops, did I press the button? Oh, I'm on. Yeah, okay. So I don't have to shout. Amen. Father, we are open to you speaking. Our speaking means nothing. But only when you speak, it works within the heart of all the dear saints, everywhere. Yes, Hebrews tells us you're a speaking God.
Amen.
And today you speak to us in and through your Son,
Amen.
The Son of God, indwelling in us. And yet, Lord, we confess many times we are deaf. We hear many other voices and miss your speaking. Yes. We want to repent and to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking, what our God, our Father, speaking today in the sun to all of us.
Amen.
Yes. Amen, Lord. Do touch our ears. Right. Pierce through our ears.
Amen.
We want to be those who hear your speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Praise the Lord for the Hebrews. Right? Are you a Hebrew? Good. Yeah. It's good to be a Hebrew, right? Not a Korean, but you are a Hebrew. This book of Hebrew is really for us. From the very beginning, you have to read it. God, who at various times and in various ways in the Old Testament time, in the time past, speak to the fathers by the prophets. So you can see the Old Testament speaking, so many of the major prophets, the minor prophets. These are God speaking. So we have to pay attention. Right. Yeah. Many years ago, I told the Lord, I want to share through Genesis all the way to Malachi. Did I make it? Not quite. Not quite. Right. But it's so important. Especially the minor prophets. I haven't gone through with the saints yet. Jeremiah. Lamentation. Yeah? I don't know if we have a chance to do that or not. But we've gone through Ezekiel, we've gone through Daniel, we've gone through Malachi, we've gone through... Yeah, Isaiah, of course, yeah. And all the five books of Moses. Right. But we don't need to go through it. You can go through it yourself. Just read it, okay? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the only book that is worthy for us to read through. To know what is God's plan and what God is trying to tell us. Yeah. We don't need too many so-called messages. No, the Word of God is good enough, clear enough. Yeah. But we like to read so many other things. Right. So many different books. But the Word of God is called the book. That's why it's called the Bible. It means the book. There's so many books, but this is the book. We have to read it, eat it, meditate on it, just like Psalm 1 that says, day and night you meditate. Don't just read and forget about it. This is not just any book. It's God speaking. Yeah.
Amen.
So, remember what Stephen says. It's God speaking. Not a professor, not a teacher, not a pastor, not man speaking. Right? You mentioned If it is your boss speaking to you, you better listen carefully. Otherwise, you're going to lose your job. You get fired. Right, Kyle? So if your boss said something to you or your manager, you better listen, right? But what about God speaking? What about the Lord speaking to us? How do you deal with it? Just, okay, yeah, I understand, goodbye. And that's it, and nothing happens. Yeah. What would you think if you're the boss and you spoke and nobody in the office listens to you?
Be furious.
Be furious, wow. You're furious. You're going to be furious. And you think God will not be furious, angry? It's written. We always thought God is so loving, kind. Never got angry. How come you can get angry but not God? If God gets angry, you better watch out. Yeah. I really don't know what to say to you. Because you just read it yourself, okay? Read it. If you read it, then God will speak to you. In this last day, spoken to us by his Son. And then he described to us, he's the Son of God. A Son of God, he is God. The Lord is God. Yeah. It says here, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Wow. Through whom also he made the whole world, the universe. Can you imagine? The Lord created everything. I mentioned that too, right? In John chapter 1. The Word. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made that was made. Colossians said the same thing. All things were made by him. Yeah, through him and unto him. You and I, we are created by God. Is that good enough? No. We're created for him. Mm-hmm. Right. What about your car, Vince? It's just for anybody to use it? You paid for it. You didn't build it, but you paid for it. What is it for? What about for me? Borrow it? Really? We were made by him and for him. God created us, especially us, for him, for his glory. Right. We always thought we have a choice. It's because God doesn't force you. Mm-hmm. But actually, to serve him, to love him, to do what he wants us to do, is normal. It's not a choice.
But because God gave us a free will, and so we think we can choose. And we always made the wrong choice. Who, the Lord, being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person. That's why the Lord can say, if you see me, you see God, you see the Father. In upholding all things by the power of his word, or by the word of his power. Why is everything still functioning today, Vince? Because we have a good government. Who is holding everything together? Why do you think the sun rises every morning? On time. Really on time. That's why you have a watch from Switzerland. Because everything is on time. And that's why there's no accident above there. Can you imagine if every month there's an accident? This planet, bang, with another planet. We'll be gone. So who's controlling everything? We don't know our Lord to be such a wonderful God. People don't even believe in his existence. They never ask, what happened? How come everything synchronized and functions so well? Right, Steve? You expect tomorrow maybe the sun might rise at 12 noon? What if the sun decided to rise according to his own time? Everything will be out of sync, chaos. It will be chaos. So we never thought, who upheld everything and who's holding everything together? Just by the word of his power. I'm saying this to let us realize God is really God. Don't fool around with him. Don't think, okay, I just believe in his existence and that's it. No, our Lord Jesus Christ, he created everything. Yeah. And it's written, right? In Colossians, he's the image of the invisible God. So when God says, let us make man according to our image, which image is that? Yeah, but what? The invisible God? Well, it's the image of Christ. Yeah. It's the image of Christ. He is the image. So man is created according to God's image, which is actually Christ, the image of the invisible God. That's why we are the most wonderful creation of God. In Genesis chapter 1, let us make man according to our image, in our likeness. Do you appreciate that? Have you ever thought about it? Isaac, How come you like Isaac? Can you imagine if Isaac was born with the face of an eagle? No. We need to appreciate that. We are wonderfully made, the Word of God says. Wonderfully made to express the glory of God. But what are we expressing? Right. What are we expressing? All of these, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. It's amazing. I just want all of us to be conscious of who Christ is. He's not just a savior. Okay, he became a man and that's it, you know. Died on a cross, our savior, and that's it. No, he's the very God himself. That's why chapter 1 tells us he is the Son of God. As God. And then he had by himself purged our sins. It's amazing. Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Becoming so much better than the angels. It's just describing this wonderful Christ, not just as the Son of Man, but as God, the Son of God. Christ is God. We need to respect him. We need to fear him. We need to listen to him. Yeah. He's God. He's not just anybody. And that's why it's written here to give us a inward realization of this wonderful God. And it says he's even much better than the angels. Do you prefer angels? It says at the very end, angels are nothing. They are our servants to serve those heirs of salvation. We don't see them, but they see you. They're messengers of God, and they are our servants to serve us. That's amazing. Yeah. Right. And today the Lord is sitting on the throne. So Hebrews is telling us everything about this wonderful Jesus Christ. And what he has accomplished, not just incarnation as a man and dying on the cross for our salvation, but he is completing everything that God wants to accomplish, all the way from creation, becoming a man, accomplishing salvation, and now sitting on the throne. Why am I repeating that, and why do we have to see that? Because you have to see the complete work of Christ. He's not just our Savior, not just to believe in him for the forgiveness of your sins and be born again and be a child of God, and that's it. No. No. He completed everything even in eternity past, the creation, and then all the things that he needs to do to save us, and then all the way to the throne. Is it all done? Yeah? Yes. It's all done. Even the book of Hebrews tells us it's all done before the foundation of the world. Do you need to do something? You need to go to the cross? No, you cannot. You're not qualified. You're just qualified to die, okay. But not qualified to be the savior of mankind. But the Lord crucified us with him, right? That's wonderful. He took us with him. So that our old man will be crucified. Everything is done. So that's why we need to understand what it means to enter into his rest in chapter 4, right? To enter into his rest. What does it mean to enter into his rest? What kind of work? Yeah, but what are the dead works? I shouldn't keep on asking questions. That means the Lord has done already everything for us. Just like in creation, in Genesis chapter 1, in 6 days, God has renovated and created and redone everything, because that was after the judgment. Right? And then at the very end of the 6 days, he created Adam, created man. So what does Adam have to do? Start again in day one? He can't do anything. So Adam just has to enjoy what God has created. And that means entering into his rest. That was in Genesis 1. But what about entering into the rest of Christ? What does it mean? Are you struggling today? Struggling? Or are you entering into his rest? What does it mean, entering into his rest? I cannot even explain it. It just simply means he has accomplished already everything. All the way to the throne. You think he's sitting there just for himself? What about his being crucified just for himself? Why was he crucified? For you. And he rose again for himself, also ascending. Wow. So what do you have to do to ascend? Just enter into that rest and sitting on the throne for himself. But if we don't see that, we'll be struggling. I have to work my way to the throne. How am I going to do that? How are you going to do that? You want to be on the throne? How? You have to believe he did it for you and for me, for every one of us. Don't struggle. Right? He made us alive together with him. He raised us up together with him. And he make us to sit together with him in the heavenlies. So what do you have to do? Try your best to fly up there. Do you have wings? To ask Elon Musk for a ride in his rocket? You can't even go that high. And it might explode on the way. So how are we going to reach that goal, you tell me? It's a mystery. It's hard to realize. This is why we're all struggling. And then finally we give up, says, forget about it. You want to be the first fruit? Who is the first fruit? It's written. So you cannot be the first fruit anymore because Christ is the first fruit. So forget about being a first fruit. Right, David? Just be content to be the last fruit. First Corinthians chapter 15 tells us Christ is the first fruits. Because he is the first fruit, then we in him a part of that first fruit. This is why Ephesians chapter 2 is wonderful. Raised together with him. Resurrected together with him. So who rose from the dead on the third day? Just you?
All of us.
Good. I'm glad I'm included. I don't know how to explain this to you in your experience if you realize you are risen together with Christ. So are you dead or are you alive? When did you die with him? And when were you risen with him? In baptism. You were baptized into his death. United with him in his death, right? So when did you die? When Christ died on the cross, we died. So don't try your best to die, because you can't. How can a dead man be more dead than dead? You want to be more dead than dead? There's so many mysterious, wonderful things that we have no realization. Faith is the realization of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't think faith is just believing he died and rose again. What about you and me? Paul says, Christ was crucified, and I am being crucified slowly. How many times? You have been crucified, Steve. Are you still alive? Well, Paul says it's no longer I. But then we're not only crucified with him, we are risen together, united with him in his resurrection. Is that just a formality, or is that just a religious ritual, or is it a reality? We sang that song, right? Buried with him and raised with him three times, T-O-O. Is that just a religious thought? What do you prefer? Just believing, okay, I'm dead with Christ, but I'm still alive with a lot of trouble. So don't just read the word. Don't just read the word. We have to realize what a wonderful Christ we have. If he's just God up there and we don't know about him, that's why many people believe, oh, that wooden thing is God. Some believe the sun is God. Some believe even in animals. And right? The holy cow? Right? In India? How come the cow is holier than thou? But people believe that. Yeah. We've been deceived by that deceiver. Yeah. The deceiver of the whole world. Do you remember Revelation chapter 12? Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. No. We have to know such a wonderful God. If you see the creation in this whole world, what it Romans says, you see the power of God. This is why I appreciate all of God's creation. God is my witness. I always told him, you're a wonderful creator. Even if I look at my hand, who can design such a wonderful hand? How come it's not just a stiff stick? It has so many joins there. One, two, three, and all this join. So wonderful, capable of doing so many things. Who designed that? Even human being building a robot, they are copying you. A very poor copy. Because they cannot make a better design. No, because this is, it's just a marvelous design. No wonder the word says we are wonderfully made. Amen. You think God is not the best designer? Look at all the trees, the fruits, all the creatures, great and small. Yeah. It's God. A wonderful, wonderful designer. Yeah. You look at yourself. You can see this wonderful God who made all these things. And then it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. If you see all the creation, you cannot just say there's no God. But foolish people are so blinded. Right. So reading Hebrews, you need to see this wonderful God. Not just Christ as a Savior who died on the cross for us and that's it. No, his whole accomplishment is from creation of all things all the way to the throne for you and me, for man. You need to appreciate that. Don't just believe in him. You have to appreciate. Yeah. We are wonderfully made. Yeah. Just amazing. Just amazing. Yeah. So this is what Hebrews, the first chapters, are telling us. But God has accomplished everything for you and for me, and all we need to do is to enter into his rest. Yeah. But we don't want to do that. We want to create our own things, go our own way, and then experience so many sorrows and problems and terrible things. And then we blame God. How come you didn't help me? And then we blame him. No, don't blame him. No. We need to appreciate this wonderful God. Right. This is what Hebrews is truly telling us. And then when we come to chapter 2, right, then it shows us the destination and destiny of man. What is man? That you are mindful of him. Do you think God cares for you, Vince? Care for your children? Yeah. What is man? And the Son of Man, that you are mindful of him and you care for him. So much so that he himself became a man. Think about that. Don't just take it for granted. Oh yeah, praise the Lord, he became a man. We all know John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I mean, we all know the Word, but nobody appreciates that. He became a man not just to save you and me and all of us, because man has a high destiny. He wants man to rule this earth. But fallen man cannot rule. Look at California. Look at that. His name is Nuisance. Or somebody called him Newscom. I call him Nuisance. Causing a lot of trouble. Hmm? How can such a person be a governor? Right? Kyle, you like to replace him? Huh. Man cannot rule. We cannot even rule over ourselves. Can you? Your bad temper. Can you rule over your bad temper? Rule over your own thoughts? Rule over your heart's desire? Rule over your own flesh? Your tongue? Your lips? What did James say? Nobody can tame it. No, we're fallen, right? This is why the Lord came, to save us, but not just to save us. And that's it. No, his death is wonderful. You have to appreciate his death. We died with him, and then we rose again with him, a new man. But why do we still love the old man? Then Christ died in vain. Every step is a wonderful step. Don't just know it. You have to appreciate it and apply it in your life. I'm repeating this not because you don't know, but I'm stirring up the desire in you and me to apply this in our daily living. Why do you still love the world? Knowing that it's going to pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3. What did Peter say? What's going to happen to this world? Become ashes. You love ashes? Everything is going to be judged by God, including us. That's why it says we have to give an account to him. Maybe not tomorrow, not next month, not today, so you think you're okay. But when he comes, that's when you give an account. But today is for you to repent. A chance for you to repent. That's why the Lord is delaying his coming. That's why he's giving us time positively for us to mature in life, but negatively for us to repent. All of these points are very meaningful. Chapter 2 says we are created to rule, to have dominion over all of God's creation. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if you appreciate that or ever thought about it. Are you happy with Apple? Well, don't just say no. It has some benefits.
Some benefits.
Right, you cannot say no benefits at all. But you should realize it's only temporary. And you thank God for giving us a good job. Praise the Lord. But he's not my God. Is Apple greater than God? Don't forget that. Yeah. Right. So, man is made to rule over all of God's creation. And Hebrews chapter 2 repeated that to us. I like to read with you again Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah, it's not just the verses there, here, chapter 2 here, right. Beginning in verse 6. What is man? It is Psalm 8, okay, it's a quotation from Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? or the Son of Man, that you take care of him. You know how much the Lord cares for you. Yeah. Mindful of you. You have made him a little lower than the angels. Well, some translation even says just a little lower than God. Right? And you have crowned him with glory and honor. That's your destiny. And set him over the works of your hands, of God's hands. God created everything through Christ. The Lord created everything. But who is going to take care of all this creation of God? Right? So you set him over the works of your hand. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Yeah. That's why Mercedes, the German Shepherd, is subjection to you, right, Elizabeth? Listen, she listens to you, right? Yeah, you see, why is that? Because God created it like that. Yeah. That's why he's a German Shepherd. Is subject to you. If you ask him, sit, he'll sit. Amazing. But if you tell your children, sit, they say, no. Stop, they say, no. I like to play. I don't want to. Can you imagine if your dog behaves like that? No, because they're subject to you. How come all the birds, when they see you, they fly away? They're afraid of you. Yeah. All the creatures, man has power over all of God's creation. Yeah. Right. So you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. It's really amazing. You should appreciate that. Yeah. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Not yet. Why? Because we're fallen. We're fallen. Yeah. Not yet. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to rule, okay? You're predestinated to rule with Christ. This is why in the book of Revelation it says, yeah, we're going to be kings and priests, and we are going to rule with Christ on this earth. We're going to rule. But then you have to be qualified to rule. And today is a time to be trained. Not to be trained to be a doctor, engineer, and trained to be what? Whatever you like to be. No, God is training you for the most important, the highest job in the whole universe on this earth. To rule properly with Christ. We're going to rule with Christ. And if you see what's happening today, you can realize how important it is to be the proper ruler, right? Isn't it?
Or is it better in Arizona?
A little better than California. Still not that great.
No, the whole world is in a big mess. Men, fallen men cannot rule. Impossible. But we are supposed to rule with Christ, to take over the dominion in this world, just like in Genesis chapter 1. Man is created in his image, in his likeness, and to have dominion all over God's creation. Don't think it is an easy job, but you can only do it through Christ today. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death. And then after that, he is now crowned with glory and honor. But in Christianity, we always see a crucified Christ, Lord, with crown of thorns, no glory, no honor. We just appreciate the one who was crucified, and that's it. But he's not hanging on a cross anymore, is he? Is he still in a grave?
No.
Still running around on this earth, enjoying the world? So where is he? Ascended? Listening to all the angels' choir? He is making all his enemies today his footstool. And he is our king. So in his ascension, he became the ruler over the kings of the earth. So don't worry about these kings nowadays. No, because they're all under the Lord's feet. But then in Zion, which is the city of the great king, he is the great heavenly high priest, king of righteousness, king of peace. We need to know him as such. Amen. You want to practice the priesthood without knowing the great high priest? How are you going to practice? Without a proper president in this country, how is this country going to exist? Was that bye-bye president? What's his name? Bye-bye? No, definitely not. So don't think in Zion today we can do whatever we want, as if we have no king. What is Zion called? The city of?
The great king.
Huh? What did you just say? It's the city of the great king. So do we have a king in Zion? Who? John Yao? Sam Hong? How come we act as if we don't have a king? You want to replace him? Are you the sub-king? The co-king? In Zion? Are you the assistant of the king? Or are you resistance of the king? Do whatever we like. Lawless. Yeah, that's what happened without a king. Or if we have a bad king. Right. We need this great high priest
walking in the midst of the golden lampstands, what is he doing? He's ruling. He's ruling. Telling me, hey, stop. Do this. He's a great high priest. If you read the seven churches, you can see what is this high priest doing. Do we have such a great high priest here in Fountain Valley? Do we have the consciousness of he's among us? Telling us what to do and what not to do. We are not even aware of that. What's the use of knowing that we have such a great high priest, King of righteousness, King of peace? And then everybody does what he likes. Each one doing what is right in his own eyes. Then how can we be the kingdom? The knowledge doesn't work. It's the realization and the subjective, not only realization, but experience, to submit ourselves to this great high priest. You do whatever your boss tells you to do, isn't it? How come you're so submissive? Because you got paid. Who's paying you in Zion? So you're not accountable to anybody. You can do whatever you like in Zion. If we don't have that realization that we have a king, the king of righteousness, king of peace, ruling here, looking over all the situations, telling us you have lost, or you not lost, but you left. To lose it is one thing, to leave it is another thing. You have left your best love. A church without love, what kind of a church will it be? So if we say we have life, the tree of life, then that life should produce the love. This is why the Lord says, right, if you don't repent, I will remove the tree of life. Only if you repent, then I will give you, and you overcome, I'll give you to eat of the tree of life. Otherwise, the lampstand will be gone. No more lampstand. No more tree of life. So it's not just the Bible reading, and we know so many things in the Bible, but we don't apply it. We don't apply it. We are not conscious of it. Right? So, we have such a great high priest in our midst, walking in our midst, ruling over us. He's the king. Yeah. It's not that we don't have any king. Yeah. So if every one of us is conscious about that, our church life will be glorious. Yeah.
But we see Jesus. So when you see Jesus, what do you see? Just a Savior? Tell me honestly, are you conscious of Jesus sitting on the throne in your daily living? I'm not saying, do you know he sat on the throne or sitting on the throne, but are you conscious of Christ sitting on the throne today? Then if it is not Christ sitting on the throne, who is sitting on your throne? Yeah, he's right, you see. The I will be sitting on the throne. Or somebody else will be sitting on the throne. Right. We see Jesus sitting on the throne, crowned with glory and honor. This is very important. And then this morning, of course, we saw this wonderful, faithful Moses. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the whole heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Have you ever considered the Lord Jesus is an apostle? Have you ever called him apostle Jesus? How about the apostle Paul? Apostle Peter? Apostle John? Right, Timo? But how come you never called him apostle Jesus? Now, how can you consider Apostle Jesus if you don't even know that he's an apostle? Everybody quoted Apostle Paul, right? But what about Apostle Jesus? Right, John? How is he an apostle? Is appointed by God and sent by God to accomplish God's plan and purpose. Apostle, the word apostle means a sent one. It's not a person in high position, no. But it's a person sent by God. It's just sent one. But today we think of apostle as somebody in a high position. So Jesus was sent to do what? To be a nobody. You want to be sent to be a nobody? To be persecuted? To go through suffering? Kyle, you like that? No. Oh, so you're not qualified to be an apostle. None of us are. If somebody sent you to suffer, would you do it? Even if you would, I think Ifan would say no. Right, Steve? If the Lord sends you to suffer, would you do it?
Probably
not. I would have the same answer, probably not. Oh, to do something for God? Okay. Yeah. But sent to suffer. To be crucified. Are you willing? So the Lord is such an apostle. Sent to accomplish a job that is impossible. Praise the Lord, he was willing.
And he is so faithful. If he's not faithful, after a few suffering, he'll run away. He said, goodbye, I'm going back to my throne up there. You think he is not able to leave any time? To quit? Just say, I quit. I'm done. I quit. Goodbye. I'm going back. Right? Wouldn't you do that? If it is so much suffering in Apple, what are you going to do? Bye-bye. Just say bye-bye. You will leave Apple without an apple. There's no more apple. Apple ran out of apples. Oh, really, it ran out of apples. Because I used to, once in a while, eat there in lunch, and every time you eat there, you get an apple free. But now, no more apples. Run out of apples. Yeah. You say, I quit. But the Lord did not quit. He went through so much for all of us to redeem us. He was willing to suffer and faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Like Moses. You know, can you imagine? Moses did exactly everything shown him on a mount. Did he take notes? Did he have an iPad? A recorder? Okay, God, say it. Here's the recorder. Please repeat. Every small details. It's just amazing. So faithful. Moses is famous for being faithful. He was so faithful. Every detail. If you read Exodus from 25 all the way to the end, every detail concerning the building of the tabernacles, even every details concerning the priesthood, to write it down in Leviticus. Are we so detailed in serving God? We like to add, we like to subtract. At the end of the Bible, the Lord warns us, don't add. If you add to the Word of God, God is going to add what?
All the plagues that are written in this book.
Oh my, you like the plagues? And if you remove the Word, no, not your name, but your portion of the tree of life. So you better go back to the last chapter and the last verses. That's a warning. It is a warning. But here you can see Moses was so faithful. So faithful. Nobody is more faithful than Moses. In the whole Bible, he did exactly what God tells him to do, or told him to do. If I get such instructions, and after I come down, even before I reach the foot of the mountain, I already forget half of it. No, what did he say? Now, what color? How many layers of, and what kind of wood should I use? And what about the dimension? Wait a minute, I better go up again. How many times would I be going up and down? But we like to add to this, and we like to do this our way. But Moses was very faithful. Just amazing. Amazing. In serving God, we cannot be unfaithful. Just to do what God says. And it's written, you have it with you. Just check with the Bible. Moses didn't have a Bible. If God would write everything on tablets of stones, how is he going to carry it down? Maybe you'll have to ask some angels to help him carry the load. So we all need to see, why is this man appointed by God? And today, people serve God voluntarily, not appointed. They're not appointed. Maybe they couldn't find a job, so, oh, that's a good job. No, he's appointed. Amazing. Our Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Moses. His faithfulness is beyond compare, although Moses was very faithful, except at the very end. Yeah. He lost his patience. Got mad and whack the rock. Poor rock. The Lord has asked him, just speak to the rock and the water will come out. But he was so mad. So in a church life, don't get mad. You'll be hitting somebody's head with a stick. But the Lord was more faithful than Moses. Yeah. Especially over God's house. And then in the next chapter, entering into the good land, he is our Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus, Yeshua. Yeah. So praise the Lord. These two names are written there, Moses and Joshua. One brought them out of Egypt. The other one led them into the good land. So, praise the Lord. Entering into God's rest. Both our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished redemption for us and also bringing us to the full accomplishment of God's will. It's a wonderful Christ that we have. We just have to believe in him. Without Moses, impossible. Without Joshua, the work will not be done. One brought us out of Egypt, the other one brought them into the good land. Praise the Lord. This is the summary of chapters 1-4. Just remember these two persons. We need Moses, which is Christ, is our Moses, and greater than Moses. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the real Joshua to lead us into the good land, to fulfill God's plan.
Amen.
Bringing us all the way to the throne. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just remember the main points. Read it again a few times. Right. So the Lord did not just save us, He also brought us into the Holy of Holies, the holiest of all. He rent the veil so that now we can all enter in. Don't just stay outside. You need to have a desire to enter in. Nobody can force you in. You have a desire to enter in, then you will be in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.